Welcome one and all to another day, another week here at the Damage Report with me, John DeRola, and Francesca Fiorentini of the Bituation Room.
Woo! John's wearing a Bituation Room shirt. It looks great on him.
It does. Well, to be fair, it looks great on everyone. But if only you could find one, and I don't know where to.
Bituationroom.com, people. Act like you know. That's my podcast. Thanks for plugging it up top. So good to be here. And if you guys want to tune in on tomorrow, Katie Hill, former congresswoman, is going to be on the show. So very excited.
That is fascinating. I had no idea that Katie Hill would be joining you.
Yeah.
Is no holds barred? You can ask about anything?
Yeah. What do you want to, I mean, send me a question.
Fascinating. I would be very curious what she thinks about her being pushed out with all that has come since then, obviously. I would be interested. You almost never have someone in politics who leaves politics and then that's it. They're a regular person now. They just live a life. I'm curious, is that what she's going to do, or is she going to move to Katie Porter's district now?
I mean, like she should, but she's getting, you know, she like came from an activist background working with the unhoused population. So I think she's getting back into that. She's also a new mom. So there's a lot to get to in addition to everything that tomorrow represents, John, which I know we're talking about today.
Yeah. You know what? Like, I know everybody expects, well, John's obsessed with certain things, and I get it. But for like a microsecond when you said everything that tomorrow represents, I thought, yeah, Wisconsin's Supreme Court is important. I think the election's significant, which it is, obviously, but I'm assuming you're talking about the president being indicted.
I am. He's not the president, but you know,
well,
former.
In our hearts.
In our hearts, deep down. No, but like you just encapsulated what's wrong with the Trump media landscape, which is like he eclipses everything. He is constantly in the effing way, and we just need to get back to some semblance of real democracy.
Exactly. Yeah. And a better president. That's what I would like. But anyway, we are actually going to be giving you some updates on that. Tomorrow's D-Day. D is for Dick. He's won. He's going to be there.
It's for diaper.
We had a diaper related story last week, and I was very glad that you were not on that show. It involves conspiracy theories and Huggies. Anyway, so you should watch out, by the way. I know you have a little one. There's some stuff going on with those Huggies, let me tell you.
God. Well, there's a new diaper story today because Ben Shapiro freaked out because apparently he found out about adults who wear diapers just as a thing and like adults who act like babies. So now he's all up in that. So maybe that'll be tomorrow as well. Sorry,
I thought you meant that some older people need to wear them. He had never thought about that.
No,
you mean like recreationally.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes you're on a roll with your work and you don't want to go to the bathroom. So what are you going to do?
God.
Anyway, okay. We got a lot that we're going to talk about. Updates on that story. We've got goat news. Apparently, while I was gone a few weeks back, Francesca was keeping you up to date with the latest developments in goats. I have a really sad goat police story for us to talk about. We're gonna give you the latest on Andrew Tate. That's in the aftermath. What the hell is going on with Twitter? And not, of course, Marjorie Greene's appearance on 60 Minutes, which was a thing that happened. So we're gonna talk about that and a lot of stuff. In advance of all of that, please hit the like button, share the stream, and you can send us comments, tweets, super chats, and Francesca and I will respond as we go. But with all that said, Francesca, you wanna get this thing going?
I do.
Let's do it then, but only because you're okay with it. New reports out just in anticipation of Trump being booked on his Stormy Daniels related case involving the classified documents scandal. There are actually developments on that. Apparently the Justice Department, as well as investigators with the FBI, have been accruing new evidence that I'm gonna say hints because I think we're supposed to legally, but like you get the idea. It's pretty strong when it comes to obstruction of justice. And I wanna dive into what they found. On top of everything that we already know, we know he did it, we know why he did it, but everybody is supposed to pretend that who's to say? We need to get into his frame of mind, his intent. That's what it's all about. Well, this evidence does get into its intent. So let's jump into what they found. They've gathered what they're calling new and significant evidence that after the subpoena was delivered, one of the early subpoenas to Trump to return the documents that he still had, Trump looked through the contents of some of the boxes of documents in his home, apparently out of a desire to keep certain things in his possession, according to people familiar with the investigation. Investigators now suspect, based on witness statements, security camera footage, and other documentary evidence, and security camera footage being included in there, I think is the most fascinating part, that boxes including classified material were moved from a Mar-a-Lago storage area after the subpoena was served, and that Trump personally examined at least some of the boxes. Now, this makes this, I don't think it should need to be pointed out, incredibly different from other cases involving former White House officials and classified documents. Yes, from a 1,000-mile view, other people, including Mike Pence and Joe Biden, have their classified document scandals. But in none of those other cases is anyone alleged to have been asked to return them, to then go root through the boxes and then start hiding stuff. No one other than Donald Trump is being accused of anything like that. And it has led to these investigators saying that this is evidence that he himself intended to, and he also told others to mislead government officials in early 2022, even before the subpoena, about these documents. And again, any of these individual things by itself isn't necessarily a crime, but if the ridiculous legal hurdle that needs to be overcome is all about intent, him telling people to lie, him getting a subpoena and then hiding materials, I don't know what you need beside that to prove what his intent was. Francesca, what do you think?
And what's incredible to me about what you just said is that you won't find that kind of clarity about the apples to oranges situation, you know, Pence and Biden's documents versus Donald Trump's documents on places like NPR even, right? Where it's like, as soon as the Biden documents were discovered, it was like, well, you know, everyone does take documents and who are we to cast stones in glass house? You're like, oh my God, shut up. It's totally different. It's incredibly different. And here you have the proof. So you can no longer say, he can no longer say, and his lawyers can no longer say that, you know, to quote the old Chappelle, I'm sorry, officer, I didn't know I couldn't do that. You know, the height of white privilege, the height of what he probably is going to still try and claim. No, man, he went in there, he started rifling, he probably is on camera picking his, you know, diaper wedgie, and he's moving stuff around. He's wiping his, you know, chicken finger, like chicken wing hands on the outside of the box, you know, all the stuff. And he's moving it to, I don't know, wanna bet. Hang on, this all ends with some exhuming of his ex-wife. Like, where, oh, if I were Trump, you put it with your ex-wife. That's what you do. Guys,
you put the thing that you truly treasure with your ex-wife. You don't care with so much about that. Yeah, you care about the documents. Yeah. I obviously do not think that the odds are very high that they're gonna unearth a coffin and find documents. But if they do, man, none of those right wingers are gonna stumble for even a second in defending that. The president is allowed to stuff coffins full of documents. Everybody does it.
It's to prove that she died from the vaccine, obviously.
Oh my God. Anyway, here is the crazy thing about this. It's so weird how the news cycle works. We went at least a couple of months with no updates on the documents.
Yes.
And then yesterday I see, oh, this new stuff about obstruction of justice. And I thought, that's interesting. And then, but by the time we produced that, between then and going live, multiple other pieces of information also have come out. Apparently, investigators also have evidence that Trump sought advice from other lawyers and advisors on how he could keep documents after being told by someone on his team that he could not. He's just like desperately hoping that lawyers will tell him what he wants to hear. Like cousin Greg asking for a way to respectfully sue someone. Like, you can want it, that don't make it likely. And then on top of that, Brett Baer today reported that multiple Secret Service agents connected to Donald Trump have been subpoenaed and are expected to testify before a DC grand jury, likely this Friday. This is a separate grand jury from the Stormy Daniels one. This is the one on the classified documents. the Secret Service agents are the ones who've been around him in Mar-a-Lago, have seen when these boxes have been moved. They would know all about this. I don't know how much they can be like compelled in this particular way, but they definitely have the information. And maybe they sneak in a couple of questions about January 6th, maybe of the Secret Service member that he was choking in his effort to get to the White House.
God, what a deep, just, I forgot that you get Secret Service agents after you leave office as president.
Yeah.
What a detail. You know what I mean? What if you were just like, imagine the like, Armageddon like drawing of straws that you had to go through to be like, please don't, please don't, please don't, please don't, please don't. Oh God, you know?
No, and then, I don't.
No, you don't know. Yeah, no. Anyway, the point being, remember, this is also a different grand jury than the Georgia election fraud grand jury. How many grand juries? How many awkward horse girls are we going to see? I love them all. I want more characters out of this.
I want to know. We know roughly how many grand juries, but which will be the grandest of them all?
Ah, yes.
When all is said and done, I don't know. I'm hoping Fulton, but we'll see. We'll see. Everybody loves a good historic reference, a good quote. And in some cases, everyone loves the exact same one. So let's jump to this.
Show me the man, or I'm going to find you the crime.
In other words, you show me the man, and guess what? I'll find the crime.
That is something that happens in communist USSR. It was, of course, Joseph Stalin who said, show me the man, and I will show you the crime.
Ooh, I like history, and that sounds fun. Okay, TD, show me the man. Bring him up. Let's see what he looks like. And we'll see if I can do what Joseph Stalin, I guess, was capable of doing. What does he look like? Oh, that's the man. Okay, I'm gonna say that the crime is falsifying business records in the first degree. To be fair, I wasn't the first person to say that. Sources close to the investigation say that that is one of the many things he will be charged with come tomorrow. And that is a felony in New York State. Now, it is possible that after all of this hullabaloo, he would be hauled in tomorrow and literally dozens of misdemeanors would be laid on his lap. I guess that is possible. I don't think most people expect that. They were expecting that if you're gonna do all this, it's because you've got a felony charge. And apparently they think that they do in this falsifying business records in the first degree when it comes to hiding the repayment of this hush money that went to Stormy Daniels. So we're gonna find out tomorrow. Francesca, there are literally expected to be at least two dozen, if not more, charges. It might be that there are other felonies as well, but that's one of the big ones, and we'll see if they have the capability to actually prove it.
I mean, there's so much more coming at this guy. Like, seriously, it's so funny that they choose this quote, like, show me the man and I'll show you the crime, you know, and like the talking point and how it ever it funnels from like Rupert Murdoch's anus down through into their little gullets, you know, like as they have to regurgitate the line. Like, I love that so much. And also, he's like, no. How about choose any crime? Look at all of the crimes. I'll show you the same guy. I'll show you one guy. You know, we are at the point, John, and this is, again, I'm doing a little, you know, sort of crystal ball looking into the future, where they're going to celebrate just how many crimes he was able to do. They'll be like, you know, no one else has actually been able to do so many in such little amount of time, if you think about it. You know, like that's the kind of switcheroo they're going to pull in, I give it a less than a year.
Yeah. I get that you have to fill your time or whatever. You're doing a show or whatever. And most of these people, they're not the cleverest people in the world. So, hey, a quote that seems to get me out of having to think about this. Show me the man, I'll show you the crime. Yeah, but you could say that in defense of literally anyone. It doesn't, like, can we be clear? It doesn't say anything about any particular case. They think that Hunter Biden did something China. Oh yeah, show me the man and I'll show you the crime. You think that Biden did something with Ukraine? Okay, show me the man, I'll show you the crime. It doesn't say anything. If you're going to talk into a camera and appear to be making a case, with your body language, with your intonation, with your sidebar graphics, maybe actually say something.
Just say
instead
it.
Of just throwing to a historic figure to not make your case for you.
Exactly. Just in case this Dominion lawsuit, just in case they get implicated, you know, who knows?
They don't
want
to say anything anymore.
Look, I was quoting Stalin. I just came to me.
I was just following Stalin's orders.
Yeah, what?
Anyway, I also want to add in advance of tomorrow, obviously we're going to be doing probably live coverage of him being brought in. It'll probably be occurring when we're on the air. He has apparently told advisors, Trump has, and associates that he's prepared to escalate attacks against Alvin Bragg now that he's been formally charged, and remarked in a private moment that it's time to politically blank him up. You fill in the blank for yourself, America, because apparently he'd been taking it easy on Alvin Bragg up until now, with the pictures of him with a baseball bat and the references to death and destruction and constant calls to protest and all that, calling him an animal, calling him Soros funded, the anti-Semitic and racist tropes that he's been throwing around. All of that, that's kid glove stuff. Yeah. Now he's going to get brutal. And the interesting thing is, he is getting closer and closer to the time when those sorts of attacks might actually have real consequences, because once he's brought in, if he is making claims like that, if he is like lying about the actual legal process, if he's making these threatening remarks, then the judge, I would say, is under an ethical responsibility to either give him a gag order, or, and especially if he violates that, he can be held in pretrial detention. I'm not a lawyer, don't rely on me for your legal advice, but that is everything that I have read. Now that again would be a fairly unprecedented thing, but we are in unprecedented territory, and Trump is signaling that he wants to see how far he can go with this and test the judge's resolve.
I mean, I just love, also this is a year where we saw Bannon and I believe Alex Jones do that very thing. Like Alex Jones, you know, who's like, no, I never created a meme of the judge in this case. You know, with devil horns. And they were like, I appoint you to exhibit A, the judge with devil horns. Is this not your sight? And he's like, and then he gets, you get screwed for it. Yes, you have to shut the F up at some point. That's part of this whole thing.
Exactly, 100%. Or it should be. But
yeah.
We're gonna see. Like, I don't, at this point, I don't even wanna make any predictions about tomorrow, because tomorrow could be a total nothing hamburger. It totally could be. Maybe we barely even see him. He gets out of his car, he goes in. We don't get the mugshot. There's no major protests. He doesn't say anything crazy. He listens to his lawyers. And then tomorrow basically passes with nothing. Or tomorrow could be January 6th part two. And Marjorie Greene could be on horseback with a Trump flag wailing away at people. I don't know. But no. Definitely stay tuned and find out together.
I say if you're in the vicinity, you go and you protest. New York, show up. You know, he could have never been elected to dog catcher in that town. So go show him what New York is made of, and not in a weird Eric Adams way.
Yeah, no, definitely. Look, whether there are there protesters or not, there could easily be more counter protesters. And I understand that counter protesting in that way, you might fear that with the way that the cops are, maybe you get charged with something. But if they do that, you say to them, yeah, you show me the man and I'll show you the crime.
Are you kidding me?
Anyway.
You guys, what an exciting opportunity. You think front row seats?
I would want to be there for that. I would.
Yes.
Yeah. You don't need to fly over there. You've already done your time in New York for protesting anyway.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, show me the Francesca and I'll show you the crime. Okay, with that said, there's one other aspect of this that I think is worth noting. Let's jump into this.
If you're doing well because all of the things that I've done have brought you wealth and prosperity, or at least you're extremely comfortable, it would be really great if you could contribute to our campaign. You know how to do it.
God.
Yes, all of you conservatives who are at least comfortable, give that billionaire your money, because he doesn't have enough of it. I know. You've given him over $100 million since he lost the election, specifically for his legal defense. But I don't know, you just lose that money. It falls out of your pockets, you overtip a couple of times, and then You run out of your $100 million. So all of you should give to one of the wealthiest people in the country so that he can defend himself against the natural outgrowth of his horrendous illegal actions. The issue is, as easy as it is to mock his calls for more fundraising, they appear to be paying off, quite literally. He announced at least that within one day of his indictment, he had raised more than $4 million. And maybe more importantly, they say that 25% of those contributions came from first-time donors, claiming it confirmed his status as the clear front runner in the Republican primary. I don't know how that would compare to his fundraising in any other period. I don't know if 25% is a lot, but this is definitely raising money for him. What do you think?
If you're comfortable, you know, like if you sleep on a mattress, why do you need the mattress? Why don't you trade it in for cash? Strip your home of copper wiring if you do have a home. And why do you need a home? You know, because my home is very important to our cause. It never ends, the like supporting this supposed billionaire because you might one day become a billionaire yourself, or he's looking out for your interests. He doesn't give a damn about you. And we all know that because the 25% extra people are the people who hadn't been duped into giving in perpetuity to the Donald Trump campaign, which I'm gonna say right now, there is definitely another lawsuit coming at him for fraud and defrauding his own funders.
I would love to see that. I mean, we covered in depth during the last election some of the scams that he ran against his own donors. Like when he says at the end of that video, you can donate, you know how to do it, and they do know how to do it. It's pretty easy. You respond to one of the 50 text messages you get a day or the 100 emails you get every day. You go, you sign up to donate $5, and then they just start draining your bank account on a recurring basis.
Yes.
And even if you sue them, they will drain as much as they can because they don't care about
you. Won't get it back, yeah.
No. Oh, you're like an 80-year-old person on a really fixed income just trying to support a politician who you've been duped into supporting. Hope you like living on the streets because that's where you're gonna end up as a result of helping out that dude. And help out they have. His main fundraising groups gathered about $46 million in the second half of last year, less than the nearly $50 million they raised in the same period of 2021. And I will remind you, during this time, he's not in office, he's not running for anything, he's lying about having won, and he's endorsing disastrous candidates for the Senate. And for that great service that he did to the Republican Party, they gave him hundreds of millions of dollars. It's madness, Francesca. Anyway, with that said, we're gonna take our first break. When we come back, Leslie Stahl of 60 Minutes decided to give some of those just 60 minutes that she had to give to Marjorie Greene. And we're gonna be responding after this. The best thing about that bumper from our social break into the full show is that our mics are hot. So everyone heard Francesca sneeze there.
I tried to mute.
Okay. Well, good try, but I heard it. It was actually all I could hear. You should have done it when I was talking during the show. That would have camouflaged it a bit. There was one time I was at a movie theater and I like started whispering something during like a loud raucous scene, and then it cut off and it was the only thing you could hear in the entire galaxy was me talking. It was so embarrassing.
Anyway, how did they do the pew pew?
It was something embarrassing. I don't remember what.
How did they do the pew pew?
I gotta go potty. Why was I saying that at 35 years old? I don't know.
That would never happen in real life. You could never do that. That was it. That was not real.
Totally punching
your date was just like, shh, I know.
She left. Anyway, okay, I don't know how we transitioned from that into serious news, probably poorly and awkwardly. But anyway, we're not live during the weekends, which means that sometimes on Mondays, we have to take stock of a true menace from the weekend. Thus, we bring you our Monday Menace. I don't know why, if you're Leslie Stahl of 60 Minutes, you're gonna give a platform to Marjorie Greene. But if you're gonna do that, at least use it as an opportunity to just read a series of insults at her.
Yes.
MAGA, that is a good use of the time.
MAGA Miss Piggy, Karen CrossFit, you know, what else?
That one's good. I do like that. Anyway, the issue was
that she just goes on for like 3 minutes.
No, just go until she literally walks out of the studio. Have a list of 1,000. ChatGPT will just spit out insults. I'm gonna do it. Anyway, no, that was pretty good. By the way, that would be a great sketch. You should use that footage and produce that with you as well.
Yes.
Anyway, the issue was, as fun as that was, they did talk about some of what she represents as a member of the right. And I don't think that Leslie Stahl's take or follow-ups were up to the task of making it worth your while for her to have time in 60 Minutes. Certain parts of it, certain individuals surely don't deserve much respect, and I don't think they get much respect, as you could tell from the insults that were coming earlier. But anyway, yes, she believes it is quite natural that she should always be attacking. She also, as we'll get to in a later video, believes that any attacks against her are fundamentally unfair and you should stop it right now. But I love just asking her, like, are you like Trump? That is the only thing she wants viewers to take away, is that she is Trump in high heels. And look, we can debate whether she intentionally styled herself after Trump. I don't know. I don't think that she had to style herself in the way that like Ron DeSantis does by doing like Trump's hand motions. I think that Marjorie Greene is the real deal. She is just as crazy and ignorant and hateful as she would have you believe. Others have to put it on as a bit of cosplay. She's actually like that. But the idea that like that would be seen as a bad thing for her, that's all she wants in today's Republican Party.
How was it to go through that many surgeries to make yourself look just as caveman-like as the former president? That must have been a big sacrifice for you, Marge. Like, seriously, no. But like, here's what I hate about this. And look, I didn't watch the full interview, so maybe Leslie Stahl went on to actually speak about substance. But it's incredible to me that you can say words like, you like to be in attack mode, you're like Donald Trump, and not be specific. You know, how you both cheered on the attack on the Capitol that tried to overturn a Democratic election, which really should disqualify you from office, but certainly from being on a primetime show like this one that, you know, used to be respected. No? Yeah. Okay, how about the fact that you both hate Mexicans? You love to talk about Mexicans a lot. Is that really bond you? Did you guys, when you guys speak Spanish, do you get like, or you hear Spanish, you get triggered together? Is that like a thing? You guys text each other when, what? Like seriously, it's incredible how we can depoliticize celebrity to that point. And it only happens with the right. It only happens if you're on the right. It doesn't happen. And they try to do it to AOC, right? Because she's arguably a celebrity. They try, and she successfully tries to bring it back to the reality, right? But honestly, like, it's incredible to me that you have incoming freshman congresspeople. You know, I had Summer Lee, Representative Summer Lee, the first black woman to represent Pennsylvania in history. I had her on my show. You have Maxwell Frost, the youngest congressperson in the first Gen Z congressperson in Florida. These are people you should be interviewing. All right? These are people who made history. These are people who are examples to follow. These are also serious people. Marjorie Greene is a deeply unserious person, and everyone knows that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the takeaway from 60 Minutes might not be that. When Leslie Stahl says in voiceover that you're smart and fearless.
No.
Well, then that's not her manipulating the viewers. That's you, Leslie Stahl, manipulating the viewers. You can call Marjorie Greene many things, and I will. Smart? Who the hell thinks she's smart? Politically savvy in some way to understand what brand of hatred and fear mongering might work. You could give her that. Smart? Like, no. She's sitting down and banging out legislation, understanding the like the interconnectedness of different political issues and all. No actual person thinks that. And I include the people who like her. The people who like her despise the concept of somebody being intelligent.
Yes.
They might say that she is, but they don't actually believe that, and they don't care. They're not interested in intelligence or expertise or curiosity or research or any of that stuff. They've been trained over decades to despise it. So why would you apply that label to her? Of every label you could choose, smart. Like maybe compassionate is less accurate than smart, but there's not a lot of things on that list.
But this is what elitists do. This is what elitists and like supposed centrist liberals do. Like because they haven't, like they're not able to say the reality of like we all can see she's dumb as rocks, right? She is like, again, deeply unserious. They're like, there must be a catch, you know, there must, what is going, what is the play here? The 7D chess, like why does she get, you know, because I get my sort of, again, like, you know, base caveman sensibilities are turned on by this specimen of, you know, xenophobia and CrossFit, like, but what, there must be something deeper. It's like, no, there's not anything deeper, okay? It's just hoodwinking people with dumb racist lies and conspiracy theories. That's it, lady, get over yourself. There's nothing deeper to this. That's what it is.
Yeah. Anyway, look, they get into her hounding Parkland survivor. They get into her claiming that Democrats are pedophiles. She says on the show, the Democrats are pedophiles. And there's like this minimal pushback from Leslie Stahl. It's like, why would you say that? And Green says, well, you know, they sexualize kids by allowing these surgeries, which they don't, that doesn't happen. And even if they did, that's not what pedophilia is. It just, it falls apart with even the lightest touch. So maybe that's all that's needed. But I feel like you brought her on, if there's any legitimate reason to bring her on, it's to push back against that sort of like QAnoning of American politics, that everything becomes accusations of pedophilia. And when she is as ill-equipped mentally to defend those accusations as the I wrote a book about wokeness woman was about what that actually means, then that's what the interview is about. That's not one thing that you touch on. That's the only potential justification. I'm not even sure that that's a good enough justification, but that's your out. And it didn't really go that way.
No, she's so laundering. I mean, Leslie Stahl is laundering white nationalism, like so much mainstream news launders white nationalism. And she does it because it gets the clicks and it gets the views and it gets the eyeballs. And we're talking about it now. And look, I've said this time and time again. I think that we sort of on the left as progressives who are kind of like a little more, a lot more unafraid of a fight. I think this is our territory. This is like our turf. Like we can go at this. We can talk about Marjorie Greene. I get it. And we also talk about a lot of other serious issues that are incredibly important that I know we're gonna get to in a second. But I hold like, when mainstream outlets do this, they are laundering Marjorie Greene for a massive audience. They are prepping people, they are making her seem more normal, right? Even if they ask her about pedophilia, they're making that a normal thing to ask and to wonder. Well, you know, they do sexualize children, even just that, taking the airspace to do that. John, if you had the time and the platform to interview Marjorie Greene, my God, you would not, like, tell me you wouldn't. I know you wouldn't say any of, ask her any of that.
I don't think I'd call her smart, and I don't think that she would stay long, would be my expectation.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll see. I just, like, she has been attempting over the last few months to remake herself. No, she is the like thumbs up to a bullet in Pelosi's head woman. She is the Jewish space lasers woman. She is the Islamophobia Holocaust comments woman. That is who she is. And I know some of you might think, well, you don't even need to worry about this. How is she going to be normalized? No, anything can be normalized. George Santos is just any other congressman right now because anything can be normalized. People are not hounding him in the hallways of Congress on a daily basis because anything can be normalized. Anyway, with that said, we're gonna move on to other news. Let's do that now. Hopefully you're already aware that a big election is happening tomorrow in Wisconsin. And among other things, it is going to determine the future of that state's Supreme Court, which is going to be hugely consequential for a number of different issues, as well as potentially the future of Wisconsin and the future of our entire country. So we're gonna jump into a few different aspects of this. First of all, the final composition of the court, which hinges on this election, will ultimately decide the fate of their 1849 abortion ban. There's all these challenges that are ready to work their way up. And that means that either Daniel Kelly or Janet, I'm gonna say Protasiewicz, I apologize if I brutalize that name. So that's conservative and a liberal. Technically, it's a nonpartisan position, but you know, it's still politics. Can we not pretend that you're just a legal mind? No ideology. Anyway, they're both vying to replace a retiring conservative justice. Right now, the conservatives have a 4-3 majority, which means that this is going to determine it. And money has absolutely flooded this election. Polling has been interesting. I've been really digging the polling. And as of March, the most recent polling, and it's not great, there's not a lot, had the liberal up by a couple of points. There has been analysis of past iterations of runoffs in this case that seem to indicate that generally the liberals do better in Wisconsin from March to when the second election actually happens. But considering that at the very least bodily autonomy is on the line, or I don't know, maybe throwing away the results of Wisconsin's presidential vote in 2024, I would really hope that if you are able to vote there, you do not leave anything to chance. Francesca, what do you think?
I mean, I think we all got a really rude wake up call in 2016 about just how much courts matter and how much the Supreme Court matters, how much district courts matter, how much state Supreme Courts, like all of this stuff is so important. And if there is no other reason to vote, it is this. It is purely this. And I do think voting is a tool. It is a tool to make sure like fundamental rights do not get rolled back and do not, you know, we have a fighting chance. It's not necessarily gonna save us. We need so much more action. But in one fell swoop, you've seen through state legislatures, through Supreme Courts, I believe we're still awaiting whether Judge Kaczmarek is gonna overturn the legality of the abortion pill any moment now. You know, they can completely undo decades, half a century of progress. So yeah, man, you know, voting sucks. You gotta hold your nose. And sure, I don't know where this liberal judge stands on a lot of issues, but I sure as hell know that they will do better than basically taking us again to this handmaid's tale of a future past.
Yeah, the conservative, by the way, doesn't wanna say what his position is on abortion.
Of course.
Now he had a blog post where he referred to pro-choice organizations and politicians as promoting sexual libertinism.
What?
But he's probably changed. I mean, yeah, he was a full-grown adult, but now he's a judge. And again, when you become a judge, it's very important that you understand this. You no longer have ideology. You no longer have any bias. Now you are just the sum total of the many big books on the shelves behind you. You just go to them for all of your answers. You don't have any preferences in any of this. Anyway, reminder too that there was a bid to throw out around a quarter million ballots from Democratic strongholds back in the 2020 election. And that was dismissed by a 4-3 margin. So in theory, if this election had already happened at that point and gone the Republicans' way, then Wisconsin's votes potentially could have been thrown out. The result could have been reversed. Now, again, individually, that wouldn't be enough for Trump to win, but they are trying to get this sort of situation going in all of the states necessary for the next time around.
Yeah, and no, so we live and die by these courts. And hello, the 2000 election. All right, the stopping of the count by the Supreme Court of the votes in Florida. Like again, and it's just, we like to think, we like to play fast and loose with this, but no, at the end of the day, yes, these stuffy, generally conservative, elitist a-holes usually are running our entire lives and have jurisdiction of our entire lives and can mean the difference between 8 years of a warmongering Republican who can throw our country into massive debt, oh, and bail out all the banks, or Al Gore? Yeah, I didn't love Al Gore, but you think we'd be in a better effing place 20 years later? Jesus.
I suspect, if I had to guess, I think that we would be. Anyway, that's tomorrow. So everybody, take the time. If you can vote, please go vote. Okay, with that said, we're gonna take our second break of the hour. When we come back, GOAT news, so don't go anywhere. Anyway, okay, let's get serious because this news is actually really unfortunate considering how it's gonna start. This is Cedar. If we can bring up this picture, you're gonna see a brown and white floppy eared goat. Not those goats, those are anonymous goats. I don't attest to know their life story.
Oh, no,
but Cedar was a great goat. And you can see in this picture, not only Cedar, but also a girl known only as EL, the daughter of Jessica Long, who for a period of 3 months, thanks to their involvement in a 4-H program, walked and fed and bonded with Cedar. That's what this program is all about, getting kids to know animals and get comfortable around them, and then auction them off and slaughter them. So that's where it gets a little bit dark, and that's generally the way that it goes. In this particular case, EL did not want to part with Cedar, considered Cedar to be like a puppy to her, basically. And so Jessica Long, the girl's mother, reached out to the program and tried to see if they could come to some sort of agreement. She wrote this letter and pleaded for the fair to make an exception and let her and her daughter take Cedar back. They said, we'll pay you for the goat, because it had been auctioned for like $900. They said, we'll pay you for that, any other expenses, they'll pay for the cut that the fair was supposed to get. And instead, in particular, there's emotional reasons that they should make an exception. Our daughter lost 3 grandparents within the last year, and our family has had so much heartbreak and sadness that I couldn't bear the thought of the following weeks of sadness after the slaughter of her first live livestock animal. And here is the response that she got from Shasta District Fair Chief Executive Melanie Silva. Making an exception for you will only teach our youth that they do not have to abide by the rules. Also, in this era of social media, this has been a negative experience for the fairgrounds, as this has been all over Facebook and Instagram. So your kid, in the wake of losing 3 grandparents, needs to learn a lesson. And also, we don't want to like do something that would reflect poorly on us online. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to call the cops, and they did. They called the sheriff's office. The sheriffs went and got a warrant. Then they drove more than 500 miles across Northern California on a goat hunt to find the goat, because they didn't know initially where it was. They had to search different locations. By the way, in the warrant, it gives them the same sort of rights that cops have in other sorts of searches, including the ability for deputies to, quote, utilize breaching equipment to force open doorways, entry doors, exit doors, and locked containers to search all rooms, garages, and storage rooms and outbuildings of any kind large enough to accommodate a small goat. And although the goat hunt was difficult, just imagine a Rambo movie, they did eventually find Cedar. They took Cedar and they slaughtered Cedar. That is what 4-H and the sheriffs did. Francesca?
This story just crushes me on every single level. It is, you know, it's truly what is wrong with this country, which this aggro, BS, toxic, like, gotta teach you a lesson mentality that says, the more pain and suffering and cruelty that you endure, you will somehow learn a lesson from that and become a thriving, beautiful, wonderful, super stable person. You know, because everyone who's ever, you know, achieved anything has always come from a terrible, like, you know, multiple traumas. Like, no, that's not how anything works. That is not how psychology works. That's not how child development works. That's not how anything works. Teaching someone a lesson so they get, you know, stronger. No, your program is terrible. Like, it's fine to understand how like meat production works or how auctioning works or whatnot, but just like this, it like, and again, once again, guys, hashtag defund the effing police. Every single story, let's just say it. Defund the police. How do they have the time to go chase a goat down 500 miles to get what, John? You know, there's like an Elian Gonzalez photo of like the goat, you know, Cedar's just like, ah, you know, and there's like a gun pointed at him.
No, we have to laugh because it's just too terrible.
It's terrible.
Yeah, they really should have made a cops episode out of this, of them hunting it down. The goat jumps over a fence and they ram through the fence in their car and they just keep on going. This is why people join the police, to protect and serve a goat for dinner. That's why they do it. By the way, look, 4-H is, it's everywhere. It's been around for a long time. I'm not gonna judge like the entirety of 4-H or whatever. But the idea that in the modern era you couldn't make an exception, they will literally pay for the goat, the incredibly overpriced goat. They're willing to do that. And it just makes me sick. Not only that this happened, but that I'm sure that like Ben Shapiro is going to do a video about how they like trying to not kill the goat is like woke agriculture or something. Yes. And that the kids should like have to like eat the goat, make the kid eat the goat every bite. That's what you need to do.
Ugh.
God, these are broken people.
So broken.
Poor Cedar. Poor Yale.
It's all to create more Republicans. Point. No, just the final point.
It's great broken people that don't center empathy in their politics. That's what it's designed to do.
Republicans, yeah. Yes.
April 1st was supposed to be the day that all of the people who on Twitter had actually been verified, that they had had to prove that who they are is who they are, were supposed to lose all that. And verification would now be the people who paid $8 a month to Elon Musk. It doesn't mean that they are who they say they are. It doesn't stop scams or impersonations, but that's all it was supposed to be. Well, in advance of that, a lot of celebrities and news outlets and companies were saying, we're not gonna pay you the $8 or for bigger companies, literally thousands of dollars a month for this. And so I was suspecting at the end of last week that Elon Musk might back off. And he's kind of done that, sort of, but only in the worst, muskiest way. He still says that he is going to take away those verifications in a few weeks. We'll see if that happens. He's a serial liar. I don't know why anyone would trust anything he says. But he decided to do this. Take a look at what happens if you click on my verification checkmark right now. It now says this account is verified because it's subscribed to Twitter Blue or is a legacy verified account. It used to say,
coward.
Which that was. I want to be very clear. They know which it is. They just don't want you to know which it is. Elon Musk has created a product that is so toxic that they have to pretend that people whose public stance is they would never pay for it have already paid for it. That's what they're doing. And by the way, all of this from his point of view has been to stop impersonations. Now you would have no idea if that was actually me. That could just be a random person. It would look identical, assuming they paid the $8. This is incentivizing impersonations and scams.
It's to
what
save his own butt.
How he is.
It's just to save himself because he's like, oh, I didn't think that no one would want to pay $5 for this. No, just you and a sad sod with like, you know, 500 followers would pay for this. The guy who invested all his money in Cybertruck, you know, that guy is gonna pay for this. And so he's trying to save his own butt here and it's not gonna work. And it's so, so funny. Like he's a coward and he doesn't understand why people are on Twitter. He doesn't understand why people use Twitter. And honestly, all the celebrities and the people he needs to keep on Twitter, a lot of those verified blue check marks that he needs to keep are the first ones who are walking away. And we're like, this place is toxic. I don't like it. There's nothing in it for me. I don't even need money, but I'm certainly not giving money. It's stealing all of my content for free. Like why? Why would I even be here?
Yeah, that's how it feels. And I'm speculating about how this will go in terms of impersonations. But if we could jump ahead to graphic 4, it's not looking great. I saw this tweet and I was honestly surprised when Elon Musk tweeted, taking everyone check marks. Do you think my kids will finally think I'm strong? Or when Howard Schultz said, the union makes us strong. Or Matt Walsh said, every trans man is better at sex than me. Ted Cruz liked that one, by the way. He retweeted it. Then Ted Cruz said, I've personally paid for 5 abortions. They rule, actually. Also trans rights. I love this new, more compassionate Ted Cruz. Wait a second, that's not him. How would I have ever known? Anyway, this is what Elon Musk hath wrought. And people think he's a genius. God. Anyway, that's all the time we have for the first hour of the show. Thank you everyone for joining us for that. There's more to come in the aftermath, so don't go anywhere. Francesca and I will be right back. You did mention that you're having Katie Hill on tomorrow. Can you give us any more of a preview of what's gonna be going on in tomorrow's episode of the Bituation Room?
I mean, we'll see where Trump's indictment is at. So we're gonna talk about that, maybe some live coverage. Also, talking to Katie Hill, we're also gonna talk about what's going on in Chicago in the mayor's race. So we're gonna have, I believe, Miles Kahn from In These Times who's been like writing about the campaign. Cause it's huge, right? A former teacher and union member, Chicago's teachers union versus the guy who basically, you know, was what the president of the teachers association or the school of ed, whatever, department of ed, you know what I'm saying? Whatever.
Ed something.
Ed.
Mr. Ed.
Mr. Ed.
There you go.
Anyway, for that scintillating take, the Bituation Room tomorrow, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern at Franny Fio on YouTube. So.
Thank you. There might be a horse. Everyone tune in.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.